It's 5 o'clock and you're listening to WXYC Chapel Hill 89.3 FM. Right now it's time for the Global Music Show, a monthly collaboration between Chapel Hill's WXYC and the Area Studies Departments. Today I'm with Tom Martineau of the Asian Studies Department, and we are presenting you a show called Chinese Pop Music, How I Escaped Chinese Karaoke Music in China Since 1995. And we have a number of things to play for you in the next hour, as well as some conversations with Tom about China. So stay tuned and give us a call if you have any questions. The number here is 919-962-8989, or you can reach us on AOL Instant Messenger at the address WXYC Requests. Right now, here is The Flowers.
Ooh! 手机老是不通，好色本性多隽永，好像时间从来没
right, this is Donald. It's 516 in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You're listening to the Global Music Show on WXYC Chapel Hill, 89.3 FM. You just heard from Brain Failure. They are a group out of Beijing that started in 1995. And as far as I could read, were pretty much influential in starting off the punk scene, which really took hold in Beijing in 1998. A bunch of other bands started up about the same time. Before that, you heard the Afanti Band, which kind of combines a bunch of traditional sounds with also flamenco-type sounds. They really blend a bunch of different sounds together and take their name from a restaurant where they used to perform in Beijing. Before that, you heard a group called Mayday, who is one of the few Taiwanese artists that we're featuring in this hour, which has five bands, also started in 1998. They had to take off for a year from 2001 to 2002 when their bassist had to fulfill his duties with the army in China. And then starting off our set at the beginning there was The Flowers, who started out in 1998 as sort of a pop-punk garage band and then went into that full-blown pop psychedelia that you heard starting off of our show. Like I said, we're here with Tom Martineau from the Carolina Asian Center, and we're talking to him about China and sort of some of the influences in pop music, Chinese culture has on pop music, and what pop music in China can teach us about China. If you have any questions, give us a call at 919-962-8989. I'm going to start off by asking Tom, what is it about China that made you choose the title for the show today, which is How I Escaped Chinese Karaoke?
Well, you know, I think obviously I never did any of those songs that you just played in karaoke, but I think we have a song here that has more to do with the title.
We're right now listening to The Carpenters, not off of Now and Then. This is the song Yesterday Once More. What was a big deal with this Carpenters song when you were in China?
Well, I would say that in 1995, when I first got to China and Sichuan province, it was much harder to find someone who didn't know about this song. Every Chinese I met got very excited when they learned I was an American because they said, "You must know The Carpenters, Yesterday Once More, America's best song, you know, most famous song." And at the time in 1995, the best I could answer was, "What?"
So how is it that is karaoke a big deal in China? How did people relate to pop music in China? I feel like this karaoke thing is a pretty big deal. What is this karaoke influence there?
Well, you know, it was everywhere you went in China, particularly in the mid 90s when I first got there, and it's still very much true today, I would say. You know, you would find little karaoke bars all over the place. You'd go to people's homes, and, you know, if they had any kind of money or, you know, were in the middle class, more often than not, they would have a karaoke stereo system. And, you know, living at a university, as I did when I first got there, you know, once it got dark, you could hear warbling from various concrete buildings, amateur renditions of many Chinese pop songs. And, you know, when you think about Chinese pop, what probably the majority of people listen to in terms of what's most marketable, they were going for the Carpenters vein, probably more so than, say, a Brain Failure or something like that. So,
gotcha. All right. Well, the next artist we're going to hear is Chen Jin, mm-hmm. and she is sort of a Janis Joplin-esque type singer. So this one going back a little bit more towards the Karen Carpenter days. So we'll hear that, and then we'll bring you something that's completely different from the New Pants, and then something following that called from the Cold-Blooded Animals. Again, if you've got any questions for Tom or comments about the show, give us a call at 919-962-8989. Thanks for listening.
Tian 一只小鸟从哪里飞过，拍着翅膀挺快乐。
Alright, you're listening to WXYC Chapel Hill, 89.3 FM. In the background, we've got the 12-girl band playing some traditional music, which usually covers things like Coldplay and other Western hits. You just heard a track from New Pants. That was that synthy dance pop song that we heard. New Pants has had quite an evolution that I'll let Tom talk about in a second. They came out in 1998 and put out their stuff on Modern Sky, being the label who also puts out a bunch of other bands such as Hang on the Box in Beijing. According to one website that I was reading, and I, of course, can't pick this up, but they were talking about how New Pants sings in this sort of Chinese slash West Coast slash British working class accent, which may be familiar to you from bands like Green Day or things like that on the pop punk circuit. Some lines from that song translated that we heard were, "When midnight comes quickly, this is New Pants celebration. All night long is only their fashion." And before that, you heard Chen Jin, and she's about 40 years old, a Janis Joplin-type singer, like I said, from Beijing. So that's combining two totally different worlds or generations of pop music. So I'm going to let Tom tell you a little bit about the differences between these two groups and how they fit into pop music in China.
Well, thanks. With New Pants, you know, it's interesting that comment you made about the working class sound they were going for, because the tape... I do mean tape that I have of New Pants. My favorite song on it is I Am a Servant. So it's kind of interesting. I never realized they were going for that working class vibe. But that's very much, especially the track we just listened to, is, you know, what I would call avant-garde music in China today. Whereas Tianjin, and she's been around for quite some time, you know, I think she's one of the better singers in China when you're talking about pop music. But you know, when I think of Chinese pop music that, you know, most Chinese listen to, I think of ballads, sappy, cheesy love songs sung by beautiful women or dreamy looking guys and all sorts of kind of romantic settings. And, you know, that's often what you hear in karaoke, whether it's karaoke bars or people singing at home. You hear that more, you know, cheesy ballad you can hear echoing throughout China.
Gotcha. All right, and tell us more about, we were talking in the last talk set about how this karaoke thing in some ways, and when we talked earlier, maybe seems to symbolize in a way how Chinese people may relate to music generally. Mm-hmm. That we talked about how in America there's a trend to have iPods and everybody wants to have their personalized soundtrack for their life. That doesn't seem to be what karaoke symbolizes, it which is much more of a community get together thing. Where is this music played in China? Like where are the places that people experience music, and how do they experience it?
Well, you know, if for a one word answer, I'd say publicly. You know, I was just back in China a few weeks ago, and I was taking a flight from Beijing to Chengdu, which is a 2-hour flight. And just throughout the entire 2 hours, they were blaring pop music over the PA system of the plane. You know, you can go shopping, whether it's a department store or, you know, even out on the street, to be honest, and you hear people playing, you know, pop music, very often cheesy ballads, at level 11. And I think, you know, one reason I think people like to experience music through karaoke, I mean, even dating myself as a dinosaur back in the 80s, we had the Sony Walkman and, you know, everyone wanted their personal soundtrack. But, you know, I think a fun aspect of Chinese music, you know, with karaoke is you get together with some people or you're in a public place and, you know, you think of your favorite song and you belt it out, you know, musical talent be damned.
All right, well, we're going to take you to something much more modern. This is a band called Cold-Blooded Animal, who is, I guess, quote, considered part of the underground in Beijing, whoever has the power to say what is the underground. Yeah, so we'll play something from Cold-Blooded Animal. Again, if you got any questions for us, this is a one-hour show on global music. We're focusing on China and specifically Chinese pop music today. And I'm here with the assistant director of the Carolina Asian Center, Tom Martineau. If you have any questions for us, the number is 962-8989. You can track what we're playing on the web at wxyc.org by clicking on the live playlist on the left-hand side. Thanks a lot for listening.
Bye.
All right, it's 5:48. You're listening to 89.3 WXYC Chapel Hill, and more specifically, you're listening to the Global Music Show, a monthly collaboration between WXYC and various area studies programs across campus. Today, I'm with Tom Martineau from the Carolina Asia Center, giving you Chinese pop music from 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. We're about 12 minutes done here, but I'll give you what you just heard was Sheng Zhen Zhui. I'm going to kick over to Tom here in a second to explain sort of some of the lyrical content of that, since most of you probably don't speak Chinese, either version of it or of one of several versions of it. That was a song called Fang Pi. Before that, you heard Fei Wong. You may know her from Wong Kar-wai's film Chungking Express. She's also in the new film by him, 2046, which I have yet to see, but I heard is a lot like In the Mood for Love, if you're a fan of Wong Kar-wai's films. That was a song called Zhang Dir on her greatest hits. And starting off that set was a track from Cold-Blooded Animal, which is just a rock band, pretty much, and that was a track called Chuang Wai, called Out of the Window on their self-titled release on Beijing Sky. So I'm going to go to Tom and let him explain to you a little bit about Zhang Xinzhui's lyrics, just to give you an idea of some of the lyrical content of what we've been hearing.
Actually, before I talk about him, Cold-Blooded Animal, I do like to point out they're fairly new to me. I wasn't listening to them too much when I was in China, but friends have recommended them. And I think it's good to note that, you know, they're a band that probably goes for a Nirvana-like sound, but they're a trio like Nirvana, and two of their members are former People's Liberation Army soldiers, so... shows you what kind of rebellion you have there. The last track that we listened to, Zhang Zhenyue, Fang Pi, you know, it's got to be one of my favorite song titles in Chinese, because Fang Pi just means to fart. And what he was talking about a lot is BS. You know, he was kind of railing against, you know, the materialistic culture that, you know, loves things like Armani, you know, puts a lot of stock in, you know, studying overseas and, you know, why, you know, he just is, you know, I think to sum it up, you know, he's just, you know, kind of fed up with all the BS that he's hearing. So, you know, it's a great song, a lot of fun. I have a lot of fond memories of it because when I was in China, I was working for the State Department. So I got kind of sick of BS too.
So. All right, now we're going into our last little set here, which is going to be started by Choi Jin, who is a major poster boy of, like, the Chinese rock movement and Chinese music in general. And when I was trying to pick out a song of Choi Jin's to present to you, there is one super famous song that he's done, but then there are other songs that are super great. And Tom was trying to explain to me why maybe he felt like the song that we're going to actually play you was maybe not the most representative of him. But and I think it parlays sort of into a sort of comment about how America relates to and the West relate to China. Can maybe explain what this song is about and how people maybe have used it?
Well, the song we're going to listen to by Cui Jian is called Yi Wu So You, which I think a good translation of that is I have nothing but my name, or I have nothing. And I think a lot when you hear the lyrics of it, it's been used very much as the voice of the student generation that, you know, led to the Tiananmen protests. And, you know, a lot of the lyrics, you know, can very easily relate to that. You know, I don't remember exactly when this particular song released, whether it was pre-Tiananmen or post-Tiananmen. But, you know, they talked, you know, one lyric talks about, you know, I gave you my desires and, you know, you laughed at me. You know, I gave you my freedom, you laughed at me, you know, along those lines. So a lot of people like to cite it. But Cui Jian, you know, I like Cui Jian. He's a very good musician. I've been to a couple of his concerts and, you know, I would call him Bruce Springsteen-like and the amount of energy he brings to a show. And, you know, he certainly rocks the house. But... I don't know. Maybe, you know, I liked other songs of his. You know, I kind of liked song. You know, there was a song that I was thinking about, like Flower Shop Girl, which is really just kind of a romantic ballad. And it goes back to the point that, you know, the romantic ballad, you know, is very popular in China. And Cui Jian doesn't sing it like a typical romantic ballad. He sings it like a rock star. But, you know, I think in terms of what... maybe is more relevant to Chinese culture. I like that. But, you know, people talk about Cui Jian. He's appeared on CNN bunches of times, and, you know, they want to relate it to Tiananmen, and it's, you know, Iwo Soyo, you know, they want to have that song. And you know, obviously it's a very touchy issue to talk about, and, you know, it's something that, well, I mean, we could talk an hour just talking about Tiananmen, but, you know, I think I thought of a good quote from a Chinese person about Tiananmen, how maybe China psychologically tries to deal with it. And that they described it as, you know, you're like a teenage kid and you're acting up a little bit and your father punches you in the face. And, you know, you're obviously shocked and you're upset about it, but, you know, it's your father. You got to live with him. And the American reaction to that could be along the lines of, your father hit you? Oh, my God, you don't have to just take that. What are you doing? But, you know, with Chinese culture, you know, the importance of order and family and, you know, slogan that you hear around China is currently today that I saw all over the place even recently was Zun Lao Ayo, which is, you know, respect the elderly, love the youth. So, you know, that generation in Tiananmen, you know, I think we tried to look at it as, you know, they were the youth that were really going for the democratic dream. But, you know, I think a good movie that a lot of people should watch, a documentary called The Gate of Heavenly Peace, all about Tiananmen. There is a scene from that where one of the student leaders, Wu Erkaixi, I believe it is, you know, he has his meeting with the Politburo with, you know, Li Peng, who was the premier at the time, I believe. And, you know, when he's talking about what the students want, he's saying, you know, we want Nike shoes, you know, we want to take our dates to bars, you know, we want to have money to do that sort of thing. So, you know, it's... when you look at China today, you know, you could maybe look at university students today, you know, even, you know, in the time since I first arrived there in 95, university students today are much more likely, you know, particularly in the big cities like Beijing and Shanghai, to be able to lead that kind of lifestyle. So it's an interesting way to kind of look at Tiananmen in that, you know, we look at it as a failed democracy movement, but, you know, maybe a lot of the things that the students really wanted at the time, you
Nike
know, they're getting. Yeah, yeah, Nike's all over China.
All right, thanks. We're going to go to Choi Zhen right now. If we have some time, we'll also throw in the secondhand roses. I'd like to thank Tom for joining us and for WXYC and for the area studies departments for getting together with us. Again, it's a monthly show, and thanks a lot for listening. Here's Choi Zhen.
Just